An Old Testament lesson from the 29th chapter of the second book of Chronicles. And the Levites gathered their brethren, sanctified themselves, and went according to the commandment of the king, at the words of the Lord, to cleanse the house of the Lord. And then the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all the debris they found in the temple of the Lord to the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it out and carried it to the brook Kidron. Now they began to sanctify on the first day of the first month, and on the eighth day of the month they came to the vestibule of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days, and on the 16th day of the first month they finished. Then they went to King Hezekiah and said, "We have cleansed all the house of the Lord, the altar of burnt offerings with all its articles, and the table of the showbread with all its articles. Moreover, all the articles which King Ahaz in his reign had cast aside in his transgression, we have prepared and sanctified, and there they are before the altar of the Lord." So far the reading. You may be seated. In the name of our Lord. King Hezekiah was from the royal line of King David. He was the 14th legitimate successor of David to sit on David's throne in the city of Jerusalem. He ruled in the kingdom of Judah at the end of the 8th century and the beginning of the 7th century BC. The great prophet Isaiah was among his contemporaries. Hezekiah was one of the outstanding reforming kings of Judah, and for this reason, the account of what he did in his reign is often connected with the festival of the Reformation. The Church of the Reformation has seen certain parallels between what Hezekiah did in his time and the movement that we call the Reformation of the 16th century. Hezekiah is one of only two kings after the time of King David who received the unqualified approval of the writer of the book of 2 Kings. His father and predecessor, King Ahaz, had made a hopeless mess of the religious situation in the kingdom of Judah. Hezekiah took on the task of cleaning up that mess, and part of that reforming task, as we heard in the reading, was quite literally a matter of physically removing trash from the temple in the city of Jerusalem. King Ahaz had allowed the situation to deteriorate to such an extent that the temple had fallen into disuse and had become filled with trash and litter. And what was true in a very physical way of the temple illustrated the larger picture of the sad state of affairs in the area of religion in the kingdom of Judah. The worship of the Lord God of Israel had been trashed. How had things become so utterly run down among those people who had been called by God to be a holy people, a people set apart to bring blessing to all the nations of the earth through the promises of God? The little kingdom of Judah was experiencing difficult times. During Ahaz's reign, Judah came under attack from nations all around it. The religion of King Ahaz was shaped by observing the religious practices of those around him who appeared to be successful in some sense. First, he imitated the religion of his immediate neighbor to the north, the northern kingdom of Israel. Long ago, they had abandoned the worship of the Lord God of Israel and turned to the dominant Canaanite Phoenician religion of that part of the world. Then another neighboring kingdom, the kingdom of Aram, seemed to be enjoying success and prosperity. And the writer of 2 Chronicles gives us insight into the reasoning of King Ahaz in the chapter right before our reading. Ahaz reasoned as follows, "Because the gods of the kings of Aram helped them, I will sacrifice to them that they may help me." In other words, Aram is a successful nation. if I just follow the practices of the kings of Aram, then the same success will come to me. Follow the methods of the successful, and success will follow for you. Do what the people in the larger culture around you are doing to achieve success, even if that means compromising or even abandoning your own religious heritage, and you too will have success. That was the dominant reasoning. Did it bother Ahaz that he had turned away so completely from the precious promises of the Lord God of Israel? Those promises had been handed down to Ahaz from his ancestor, King David, and they extended back in time to the patriarchs 1,000 years before David. If it ever really bothered the conscience of Ahaz, he apparently had learned to shut it out of his mind completely. And when a still greater model of success came along, the mighty international superpower from Mesopotamia, the Assyrian Empire, we find Ahaz ready to switch his allegiance again and pattern everything he did in the area of religion after Assyrian models. The writer of 2 Kings tells us how Ahaz meticulously copied the pattern of an Assyrian altar he had seen, and he had one built just like it in Jerusalem to take the place of the temple of the Lord God of Israel and its altar. "Look at my altar," King Ahaz must have crowed. "I do religion just like the big guys do it." The sacred ordinances and rites of the house of the Lord God of Israel were finally abandoned to the point that even the physical structure of the temple itself, built by King Solomon, became little more than a refuse dump. The writer of Chronicles mentions that when Ahaz finally died, he was not buried in the tombs of the kings. By the time of his death, many people must have recognized how radically he had changed the religious culture of his kingdom by his wishy-washy flitting about from one trendy thing to the other. And then along came King Hezekiah, a man in whom God worked mightily and produced the miracle of faith. The biblical writers summarize his reign with expressions like these: "Hezekiah did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. He removed the foreign worship places. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel. He held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, and the Lord was with him." Early in his reign, Hezekiah issued this reforming edict. To those in charge of the temple, he said, "Sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry out the rubbish from the holy place." And the writer of Chronicles records how they went to work and they brought out all the debris they found in the temple of the Lord. They sanctified the house of the Lord, and when their reforming work was done, the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. Hezekiah was a true reformer. Well, maybe these things that happened 700 years before the birth of Christ seem remote and not so relevant to our experience. But in fact, they illustrate the concerns of the faithful in every generation. The temptation to conform to the ways of those around us who appear to be successful in matters of religion is as great now as it ever was. And when that temptation prevails, the worship of God, which is based upon his gracious promises, which come to us in the gospel, in word and sacrament, they will be abandoned just as certainly as the temple was abandoned and trashed in the days of apostate King Ahaz. The ongoing work of the faithful is the same now as it was in the days of Hezekiah. The Christian gospel message is our precious heritage. God has given his only begotten Son for our redemption. In his life, death, and resurrection, he has won for us the victory over sin, death, the curse of the law, and the power of the devil. And he has put the benefits of that redemptive work into the gospel in word and sacrament to be distributed among men. And by that gospel, he creates and sustains faith in hearts and minds and gives blessed hope to those whose lot and fortune was only despair. The work of Reformation goes on. When the misleading attractiveness of that which appears to bring success in matters of religion is exposed and removed like the trash from the temple in the days of Hezekiah, and the faithful enjoy the well-ordered house of God adorned with the gospel in word and sacrament. May God bestow on us his grace and preserve among us his holy and blessed and life-giving word and sacraments. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that of your great mercy you have given us your holy and blessed word, by which you will also among us gather your Christian church. We humbly entreat you, grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may receive your word with thankful hearts and live according to it and ever increase in Christian faith and hope and love, and at last obtain eternal salvation through Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.